my extensive research into the Bible and its background, reading all the best scholarship and academic literature. The archaeological and historical evidence suggests there were no cockatoos and wallabies at Jesus' birth. Scholars are still debating whether there was a platypus. Of course, one reason why we've imagined Jesus' birth Christmas is happening in the outback is because it's a lot of fun. But there's another reason that we've done it as well. Some of what many of us have been taught about Jesus' birth is just as incorrect as having a bandicoot or a kookaburra on the scene. There are some minor myths about Christmas, and then there are some that are a bit more significant that are worth thinking about. Some of the minor ones include things like, you probably know, it's highly unlikely that Jesus was born on December 25th. You've probably heard that before. September is more likely. Some say maybe in the spring, but December 25th is virtually impossible. Obviously, Jesus would have had much darker skin than our doll there. Whether it was the outback or whether it was the ancient Middle East, doesn't matter. But those are relatively minor. There are some more significant ideas about Christmas that are worth spending some time to think about. One is there are some problems with this idea of the three wise men that came to Jesus' birth. First, as many of you know, we actually don't know how many of these guys there were. Might have been three, might have been only two, might have been 20. We have no idea how many there were. Second, you might have heard that they were kings. We three kings of Orient are, the old song goes. But they weren't kings. And it's probably not quite right to say that they were wise men. Matthew calls them magi, and everywhere else that word is used in the New Testament, it refers to like a magician or an astrologer, something like that. But here's the most important point, and again, lots of you will know this already. The magi were not actually there on Jesus' birthday. We knew that, yes? They probably showed up at least a couple months later, maybe as much as 2 years later, somewhere in that later when he's grown up a bit. Not on his birthday. Now, why is that important? I think it's significant. When Jesus was born, there weren't any special people around. There weren't any big shots around. There weren't any kings or nobles, magi, priests and prophets. It was just his family. And then it was the shepherds, ordinary folks, like us. Now here's another myth about Christmas. Jesus was born in a stable because there was no room in the inn. We've all seen that a million times. Jesus was born in a stable because there was no room at the inn. The idea that there was no room at the inn is a mistranslation of what Luke says, actually. The word Luke uses here actually means any kind of lodging or resting place. It might refer to an inn in some contexts, but interestingly, it is never used that way in the New Testament, never. Always in the New Testament, it means a resting place or a lodging area in someone's home. It's almost like a guest room, except that in those days in Israel, typical homes were one-room houses, one large room for the whole family. But, you know, you'd have a little pen out the front of the house for the animals. Then you'd have your big main family room. And then at the back of that room, or sometimes even on the rooftop, you would have a guest area, a lodging area for visitors, family, what have you. So it's in one of these guest spaces in Joseph's family home in Bethlehem. That's where Joseph and Mary went to stay. The problem is, according to Luke, there wasn't enough room in this guest area. Maybe it's not enough room for them at all, or maybe they were staying there, but there wasn't enough room to actually have a birth there. Either way, the birth couldn't happen in that guest area. So where did it happen? Well, not in a stable. The scriptures never actually say that. Instead, as I said before, you might have a little pen out front of your house for your animals, for the family's livestock. But at night, the usual practice was to bring those animals into the house, the one-room house, to sleep with you and the family. And the manger would be a small depression that was dug in the dirt floor and filled with straw for the animals to eat. That's what a typical first century house in Israel looked like. So Joseph and Mary were in the family room with the family and the animals in this one room when Jesus was born. And once the baby was wrapped up, that little straw manger was a nice, soft place to lay him. So this is what Jesus' birth looks like. Not alone and isolated out in a stable, but in a packed one-room house full of family. I think that's significant because the whole reason Jesus was born was to be with us, to be among us, to be one of us. He was born in a crowded family home, surrounded not only by his parents, but probably grandparents, maybe an aunt and uncle and some cousins. He was born in a typical one-room family house in first century Israel, right in the middle of a typical everyday first century family. And right then on the day of his birth, some working class average Joes, some shepherds from the field, came to see that baby lying in the straw. And they praised God. So this is no doubt a humble birth for the one born King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But it's not an isolated and lonely birth separated from us out in a stable. He's surrounded by people from his very first breath. Ordinary, everyday people like you and me. Family and shepherds, not kings and nobles. Jesus was born to come to us, humankind, and to be God with us. Almighty God came to us, not in a great golden temple or palace, not surrounded by priests and politicians, but in an everyday family home surrounded by ordinary people like us. He was born to come to us and be with us, to live and breathe among us, to grow up, to work with his hands like we do, to have meals with us, to bless our children and teach us. And then he died. Even though he didn't deserve to die, he died because we deserve to die. He suffered death, the punishment that we deserve for our sin. But as much as Jesus was one of us and like us, he was also unlike us, and death could not contain him. And so he rose to life again. And when he rose to life again, because he is one of us, he opened a way for us to rise again too. And we can have eternal life as a gift from God in Jesus Christ. The angel told the shepherds on the night of Jesus' birth, "I bring you great news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." And the cow said in Christmas in the Scrub, "Oh, I've flown this land, seen many a baby born in burrows, trees and furrows, yet this one outshines them all, this baby in the straw."